What would it look like if you entered 2025 with a frame of mind that was focused more on showing others the glory of God rather than trying to glorify your own body, your own life with goals that are only focused on bettering yourself? Not many people know this, but I actually grew up on a farm. And one year, as I was kind of getting into adulthood, we had a really unsuccessful harvest. So it really caused me to kind of reassess my future career goals. And I decided at that point that I would try a career in music because I ended up having a ton of sick beats. Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 247. If it's your first time listening, congratulations. That was a pretty good dad joke. That's how we start every episode, and I hope you enjoyed it. But if it is your first time listening, please also rate and review this podcast. It helps other people find it. If you've enjoyed it, other people might do that as well. So please share it with them. If you want to tag us on social media, do so on Instagram at @ManaFoodForThought. Follow us there, and you can see when all of our new posts are up of podcasts and blogs. Speaking of blogs, go to our website, manafoodforthought.com, and click on the subscribe button, and you'll get our weekly Psalm reflection, our blog, straight to your inbox every Wednesday morning. That's the only email you will get, so don't worry. And if you feel so inclined, while you're at the website, click on the Give button, and you can become a financial sponsor to this podcast for as little as $1 a month. And patrons get perks and access to exclusive content. So thank you for listening. If you're new, longtime listener, we're glad to have you here. Let's get into our joy, junk, and Jesus. My joy is that I've been having some time off just to rest, to sleep in, praise the Lord, and to do one of my favorite things, which is cleaning and organizing my house. I love it. And you might think that's crazy, but the neurotic little boy in me just absolutely is delighted when I have an opportunity to do that. My junk is that my family is away right now as I'm recording this. They're going to just be away for a few nights up in the mountains. And I'm down here because I have to start getting back to work. But the days are still quieter. However, that leads to my Jesus moment, which is just having time and quiet, having time to slow down and to rest. And really to clean and organize, like I feel like the Lord is with me in those moments. I really feel like a connection. There's like that kind of spiritual cleansing dynamic that seems to be happening at the same time as I'm ridding my life of junk. Inevitably, it makes me just kind of feel more at peace spiritually as well. So praise the Lord for that. Let's get into our episode. We always look at the second reading for this upcoming Sunday. And this upcoming Sunday is the Epiphany of the Lord. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 2 to 3a, and verses 5 to 6. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the Christians in Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey. It's in one of those churches of Asia Minor. If you hear those cluster of churches mentioned in the New Testament, that's where it is, along with Galatia. Galatia's also over there. Ephesus is more toward the coast. I think it's actually on the coast. And it was, I believe Ephesus was actually the site of one of the ancient seven wonders of the world. I think that the ancient temple to the pagan god Artemis was so big and beautiful that it was one of the seven ancient wonders. It's no longer standing. But anyway, so Ephesus, a huge epicenter of ancient pagan religion, a common place of trade and cross-cultural interactions. Paul lived and labored there for over 2 years. You can read about that in Acts chapter 19. And he hears back that they're having different disagreements and issues, and so he writes this letter to encourage and correct them, as he does all of his letters. And this letter was likely written while he was in prison. He says that he's in prison in Ephesians 3 and 4 and in chapter 6, that he's suffering afflictions. And so he likely wrote this while he was imprisoned in Rome, sometime between 61 and 63 AD, along with Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. He wrote those also from prison. So let's see what St. Paul has in store for us in this short second reading from his letter to the Ephesians. He writes, "Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, Paul here is highlighting something that is a theme in his letters, where he starts to say things like there's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, all are one in Christ Jesus. And so he's speaking to the division between the Old Testament covenant that seemed exclusive to the Jewish people and now the New Testament covenant being applied to all people, and showing that he's been entrusted the same message that was given through the Spirit and through prophecy to the apostles has also been entrusted to him, that this revelation is now for all people. This promise is now for all the world, Gentiles included, and they are co-heirs in this same divine inheritance. And so Paul is entrusted with that message to the Gentiles and goes on these series of missionary journeys to communicate that to them. It's also why we have the story of the Magi on this Feast of the Epiphany, because it's a recognition that Gentile astrologers from Persia come and recognize the newborn king of the Jews before really any Jews are able to recognize him at all. And so giving a kind of preeminence to the Gentile recognition of Jesus as Messiah and Lord to show that they have a place within the new covenant family of God. The phrase that really sticks out to me in this is the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit. And that made me think of the fact, like, we all have been given something that points the way to Jesus. You know, whether you realize it or not, even when you feel limited, like Paul's in prison as he's writing here, but even in prison, like, the Lord could use him. And no matter what you feel your limitations are, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, based on your past, your history, your struggles, your sins, the Lord can still use you. He wants to still use you. And you have something unique to offer that allows his glory to be revealed in new and unique ways. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 says, "Thus should one regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." That when we serve Christ, when we follow him, we become stewards of these mysteries. A steward was one who stood in the place of the king. And so when the steward went to a town to announce something, a message from the king, they were treated as if they were the king themselves, as if the king himself were present. When we are stewards, we go, we make the King of Kings present. We make his message known in unique ways. And that is part and parcel of being someone who follows Jesus. It's all of our baptismal responsibility, not just the priests, the bishops, the deacons, the religious sisters and brothers, or the professional lay ministers like myself. All of us as baptized Christians have a responsibility to do this. In 1 Peter chapter 4, when Peter's talking about Christian charity, in verses 7 through 11, he writes this. He's talking about, like, the end of all things is at hand. And he says, "Therefore, be serious and sober for prayers. Above all, let your love for one another be intense, because love covers a multitude of sins." And then how do you love? He says, "Be hospitable to one another without complaining. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever preaches, let it be with the words of God. Whoever serves, let it be with the strength that God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, in whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The way in which we love one another as Christians, the way in which we extend hospitality to one another, is by recognizing we've been given a gift, that we are stewards of that gift, and that we are meant to use it to bring God's grace to people. And so this Sunday, as we hear the gospel message from Matthew chapter 2 of the story of the Magi coming from the east, they're following the star, whatever this supernatural or natural sign in the sky is, to Jesus. It's a reminder to you and I that not only is the gospel for all people, but we are called to point the way in the same way that the star is. You are a star of Bethlehem. You are revealing the mystery of God in unexpected ways. And so, brothers and sisters, like, we're coming upon a new year. As you are listening to this, it's a brand new year, 2025. And it's an opportunity for you to let that star within you shine brightly, to point the way for others who may never be able to see Jesus otherwise. So in this new year, who are you being called to light the way for? And what spiritual clouds are obscuring you from shining brightly? Notice how Peter said in 1 Peter, "Be hospitable to one another without complaining." Hospitality, lived out as an extension of our love for one another, can be obscured by things like complaining, like gossip, like anger, like serious sin, things that get in the way of us being able to shine brightly, being able to recognize the gifts that we've been given. And instead of turning outward, we turn inward, as I said in a recent episode. And so in this new year, when people make resolutions What would it look like if you entered 2025 with a frame of mind that was focused more on showing others the glory of God rather than trying to glorify your own body, your own life with goals that are only focused on bettering yourself? So often we make these lofty resolutions and goals, but they're all about, I want to read more. I want to exercise more. I want to do this more. I want to be more present to this or that. I want to be more financially successful. And those things are all well and good. We need to be good stewards of the life that God gave us, but we need to be thinking of others above ourselves. And so when we make these resolutions and goals, how many of them have to do with us serving other people, giving back, getting involved in our parish, in charity, looking at what time, talent, and treasure we have and how much of it is being offered for others, how we are being called to be bright, shining stars of Bethlehem to point the way for others to encounter the risen Lord Jesus. What would that look like if you looked at your resolutions? And maybe you've already made them and you're excited about them, but maybe this is compelling you to sit down and discern, are these really the resolutions the Lord wants for me? Do these resolutions really line up with my baptismal call to share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people? And maybe you cross some things off that list. Maybe you throw the whole list out and make some new ones. It's not too late. Just because you made them before the first, maybe you've already broken some. It doesn't mean you can't remake them. We're constantly being called to align our attention and our efforts to what the gospel compels us to do. And so, brothers and sisters, this second reading this week reminds us that we've each been given a stewardship of God's grace that was given to us not for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. How are you recognizing what those things are, and how are you putting them into practice? Who are you being called to point the way for? And what's getting in the way of that, brothers and sisters? So that this year would not be a year solely focused on personal goals, but where we strive to help others know the good news of Jesus Christ who do not know him. That's all I have for you this week, my brothers and sisters. God bless you. Merry Christmas season. Happy New Year. And until next time, I will see you in the Eucharist. Bye.